This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
Folks, welcome to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
I'm Brittany.
And this is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment's brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. You got a street car, race car, drag car, classic, or antique, stands the man. Go to stcarb.com. And if you have a Porsche, Mini, or BMW and you don't want to go to the dealer anymore, 40 years experience, Black Forest Motorsports. 8066 Engineer Road. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. Blackforestautomotive.com. And if you happen to be a BMW Mini or a Porsche technician and you're looking for a change, give these guys a call. They're looking for a couple of good techs. They lost two of their best, headed off to Texas. They left California. So don't hesitate to go to blackforestautomotive.com. Well, we got Brittany in the house. She no longer has a roof, so she technically does not have a roof.
I literally don't have a roof over my head.
She technically does not, and she's stressing. You should see her hair.
She's doing a house remodel.
I know. Well, I tried to tell you not to, but you weren't listening to me.
When you neglect your house for 5 years because you go off racing.
Yeah.
I've become the ugliest house on the street, so.
I seen the sign. So, who did you bring in as a guest? I would have never known.
Well, okay, for the listeners out there, once again, like when we had Dave Arce on a couple weeks ago, it sounds like I'm the last one in San Diego to meet today's guest. So I feel honored because everybody else in San Diego knows this young lady to my left. She not only volunteered at Cajon Speedway for 30 years, she's also been a NASCAR official for well over 20 years. So I hope we have enough time to talk about both. Please welcome Becky McBride.
Hey, Becky, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me.
So my first question is going to be to you, as much as you volunteered in the NASCAR scene, did you ever have a desire to drive?
No, absolutely not. And I have to tell you that my entire family raced. All the girls.
I know.
All the guys.
Your mom, right?
My mom drove for 15 years. My uncle built her own car.
Yeah.
I've been offered probably a car in every division.
Oh, my gosh.
I have never wanted to drive.
Now, have you ever gotten in a car and at least went around a lap or two just to say, okay, now I really don't want
to
do
her
it?
Her face is saying.
It's all scrunched up.
Yep. So I have no desire to do that.
But you know absolutely
what?
No
and in
desire.
Your defense, and you've known everybody from the pit crew all the way up to the owners, there are crewmen out there that say the same thing. If you say, are you sure you don't want to drive? No, not interested. And God bless you for that. I'm reading a book right now on the history of the Nissan GTP, and I can't think of the girl's name, but she was doing the scoring, which you've done enough.
Yes, she has.
You've done enough to choke a horse. Mm-hmm. And this guy was gushing over this woman's ability. And this is back in the 80s, you know, and we didn't have a lot of technology.
Yeah.
And she was able to keep track. In fact, he would ask her, and this was in, you know, the IMSA series, you know, what's the status of car 12? And she could tell him instantly. She knew right where it was at. She knew how many laps it was down, or she knew how far it was from. And all of this without computers or anything. So I think it's a knack that sometimes is not rewarded, because it is once you leave and then they are all freaking out because they don't know how to do it. So how many different tracks have you supported, would you say?
Well, we started at Cajon, so that was our home track,
right.
And I had really not traveled much, and then I went to 605, which was in San Gabriel,
right.
probably for the first time. And that was so eye-opening because it was a half mile.
Yeah.
And it was some of the toughest competitors, Jim Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Ronnie Saw, you know, race there. So that was the reason I was there.
Look, I'm getting goosebumps.
And it was a completely different thing to see all these drivers, Georgie Saw and Ronnie Saw, Orin Prosser, and these are phenomenal drivers.
Sure.
Away from our home track,
right,
where it was the same guys I had seen week after week after week.
Sure,
so that was big. And then went to Las Vegas at the end of the year was our big trip. So the whole family would load up and we'd probably take four or five race cars and everybody from home would go.
Yeah.
And it was just a great time to have people come from Wisconsin.
Everywhere.
Everywhere, all over the United States to one racetrack. And there was this driver that I thought was too young. I wanted his license verified because I did not think he was old enough. His name was Mark Martin. And I said, there is no way that he is legal to be kicking our butts. There's
yeah,
no
right.
way he has a driver's license. And it was actually Mark Martin, and he was old enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So we saw some of the best in Las Vegas. So that was our family trip, and it was a tradition we did for many years, and I think that was probably a high point.
So how did you get into NASCAR? Did they recruit you, or did you go to them?
I did not go to them. I told them they had unappealing uniforms. I did not like their outfits that they wore. So
they were pretty
they
bad.
Kept asking me and I said no. I said, okay, if I can wear my own clothes,
then I'll think about it.
Then I'll think about it.
Yeah.
But I actually wanted to see what it was like to make a decision that you had to stand behind because I was not able to understand decisions they were making on the track.
Right.
And I felt like I need to walk in their shoes because I don't understand how an official can make a call that I don't understand as a car owner.
Right.
So I wanted to see how the other side did it. And I've made decisions that I had to stand behind later on that were not correct. Or I've missed things that were right in front of my face. And you're human and you make mistakes and you have to live with
it. So it was a good education.
It was an education.
And it made you a better person behind the scene, I'm sure.
It makes you understand the frustration of the owners and the drivers, but it also makes you have to take a stand and say, this is where you got in the gray area, and guess what? It's black and white.
So let's roll into 2020, and you're watching what's going on out on the tracks today. There are enough rules to choke a bull elephant, you know? I mean, it don't do this. Don't do that. Don't bump this guy. Don't bump that guy. I mean, it's just crazy, which I think they're over-regulating the racing. Now, granted, when Dale Earnhardt Sr. died, God rest his soul. Did you ever know him or talk to him? I hate you. I hate you.
That is very nice to say to a guest.
I know you're a huge 3 fan. I know that. I know.
If I ever see Ron Esau, I'm going to punch him right in the nose because we remember when we did.
Yes.
In fact, I think his, what's his boy's name? Jim that passed away. That had
Jim Watkins.
Jim Watkins. And his dad called me. His dad called me, and I was almost teared up.
Mm-hmm.
But he had passed away, and we were doing a great
golf tournament.
Yeah, golf tournament. And his dad and I, we don't know what the hell they're doing. We're all driving out down the fairways and everything. But there was a driving suit from, what was his name? Dave, little short guy.
Dave Salas. Who used to crew for
Dale Earnhardt
Sr. for many years.
Because when they would come out to the West Coast, you know, Dale didn't bring his crew. He would just hire locals. So I don't know. I think Esau put on the uniform extra large. So I bid on it. So I wrote down my price, and then Esau comes up, and he puts down $50 more. I look at him, and I said, you never fit in that uniform. So I put mine down, and Esau come over.
Mm-hmm.
So it went from $75 to like $100, $200. And he'll rub my nose in it every time I see it. Dave Salas is a small. But that uniform, and I should take a photo. That uniform is in a plastic case in my front room on the wall.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Well worth it.
Yeah. And I have a shrine. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm semi getting choked up just thinking about Earnhardt. But ever since Earnhardt passed away, he did two things. He made the series safer, but he also took away the competitiveness. You know, because he would not survive to, well, yes, he would. Because nobody told that guy what to do. So now you're working with Irwindale?
I actually go to Irwindale when they need me, so I was able to work there when they opened.
Isn't that a beautiful facility?
It's a beautiful facility.
You were there last night, right?
Yeah, I worked last night.
I called the baby Auto Club Speedway.
Yes, it is.
Because it looks like they just took Auto Club Speedway, shrunk it down, and gosh, I walked into the, you know, after being at Cajon Speedway, nothing against Cajon Speedway's tower, but I walked into Irwindale, and I thought, holy Christ.
It probably didn't sway like ours. Ours swayed.
No, it swayed. And who was that one lady that used to go up there and would do this? She never really did anything.
That was Lorraine Wright. She was so sweet.
She was sweet.
She passed since.
She has. We did lose.
Okay, so I have to tell you my cute story. So I don't know. I'm subbing for Tom McGrath. So I pull up. I go, oh, look, there's a great spot right next to the fence. I pull my car in there and I go upstairs. Next thing I know, here she comes. Who's in my parking space? Everybody's looking around and they're all shaking
they're
a little
scared.
Bit. And then, of course, she described the car I was driving. And I went, oh, that would be me, Lorraine. I never ran downstairs so fast in my whole life. God. Yeah, she was a dear. And Tom McGrath says, you sit here between me and Lorraine. Well, why? Just sit right here between.
Please.
Well, she would ask questions. And because she tried to stay busy, she would try. She was a
So her job was actually to handwrite everything that happened.
Yes.
And it wasn't a job. And we never looked at it. And we never even looked at her notebook. No. But it was so sweet. She did that for years and years and years. Her husband and son were on our track crew their entire lives.
Yeah.
They should make a book out of her notes, though.
The notes, I don't know where we have those, but I have to say that was her job. She came up and she handwrote everything.
She took it dead. Seriously. And getting her up those last three stairs was a challenge towards the end. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk more with Becky on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Indeed. What you putting lipstick on?
Chapstick.
You're putting on. Oh, that's
that
right.
Peppermint chapstick.
That's because you don't have a roof.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not bacon?
No, but this is actually how I stay cool on hot race days. Peppermint chapstick and cold water.
There you go. Hey, folks, this is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where absolutely nobody treats you better. Go to elcajonmotors.com. 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. I brought one of their commercial vans, the Ford Transit, on KUSI this morning. And if you're a racer, motorcycle, go-kart, dwarf car, this will make a great office. Got the trailer hitch, hooked that trailer. Yeah, I know you
were
thinking
I was going through my head when I saw that.
And John's Automotive Import Repair, 7447 University Avenue in lovely La Mesa. Go to John's off San Diego AutoRepair.com for all your AAA, NAPA Auto Care, ASC service repairs. And you'll be covered like a blanket. Hey, we got Dirt Dude on the line. Hey, dude, how did practice go?
No, not yet.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, that's right.
It's coming up. Racers, it's coming up.
So you're just.
Someone was whispering in your ear. Yeah, I went to a practice, but it wasn't our practice.
Oh. Where'd
you go?
Went to the Campo Flat Track.
Yeah.
How it's going out there. It's a neat little track.
That was just a practice?
Well, I guess it was their AMA race, so no spectators, thing like that. It was just the riders and the crew.
So, Campo.
I
didn't know they had a track out there.
It's on the Camp, not Elliot.
Oliver, not Lockett, that's it, yeah.
By the way, do you know Becky McBride?
No, I don't.
That's just two of us in
Thank
San Diego.
God
Everyone
for small
else
favors.
Knows her.
Brittany is forever.
I heard the little the conversation going on, so I looked it up.
Good man. Yeah, she's very well known.
Very well known. And I was all excited. Dave, I'm bringing in Becky McBride. He's all, do you know how long I've known her?
That's okay.
The question you got to ask her now is, does she know the Dirt Dude? You know, hey,
yes.
She does know the Dirt
she's
Dude.
She's saying yes.
How did you know the Dirt Dude? Oh, they're talking behind your back, Dirt Dude. So if you get embarrassed, you'll totally understand. So how many bikes do you know him?
Well, my brother is Eric Ferguson, and he raced at Barona. So I was at Barona quite a bit when my brother was racing.
So there you go. Did you know Ferguson?
Yeah, that's one of the big street stocks that was out there. Super stocks or street? I did super.
Yeah, it was a super. Yeah, number 67. Yeah. That's my brother.
Yeah. Well, Becky.
I ran into him a couple of times, a couple of different tracks. He's a good guy. Don't know what he's doing now because we don't run those supers anymore.
Yeah, he's running his truck body shop, so he's working away.
Oh, so he's not racing anymore? Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
That's a pretty good video. He went to the cruising El Cajon thing that they did, and he's like on the outskirts of El Cajon. He drives his car through El Cajon, gets on the freeway, gets off the freeway. There's video of it.
The superstar.
I remember who his friend was. That was right behind him and took the video.
He was it's always been interesting having him for a brother. Well, craziness. Rule follower, and he's a rule breaker.
That's relationship. With
craziness has always ran in your family.
Right. Exactly.
So that's not totally out of the question.
It's one of my favorite videos.
It makes for a colorful life.
Hey, it's got fenders, right? It's got a body on it.
It doesn't have a horn or a rear view mirror, though.
Or headlights.
Oh, yeah.
No headlights, no taillights, no turn signals, and no mufflers.
Well, let's talk about the things that it does have. That would be my argument.
A motor, a seat, a fuel tank, a race harness, and a roll cage.
Yes.
So, it's got a safety window net, you know, so there is some safety involved.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds like cool. So how many bikes showed up out at Campo?
I didn't get a count, but it's pretty good because, I mean, it was weird to see like flat track. It's bigger than our kids track, but smaller than our big track. And it's a flat track, and they come out probably between rounds. Like they'll run a couple of rounds, and then they'll come out and water it, and then, you know, it stayed wet the whole time. It was really nice. And they do go-karts, three-wheelers,
yeah,
bikes.
Do you guys know these people out there? Do you know the organizers? Becky does. Becky's bobbing her head.
I just went out there to see. Actually, I know a couple people that picked up some go-karts. Oh, they let our kids run out there in the kids' cars, too.
Oh, cool. Nice option.
I would love to get them on radio and also get them, take care of it there. Kid.
That was actually, I think it was a CalMex or Cal...
CalVMX. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, CalVMX. Yeah. CalVMX, and it stayed their second one. They did one already, and this is two out of... I think they're doing like five or six of them.
Yeah, CalVMX is your vintage motorcycle group. They bring out some of the most beautiful vintage motorcycles you've ever seen. Bull Tacos, Husqvarnas, you know, Makos, you know. And these guys have put a small fortune into these bikes. And, they're pretty awesome.
Well, funniest thing was, like, now since we haven't been racing, so now every racer I know has went and got a go-kart, so they're all racing go-karts now. Eric Evans was out there with his daughter and his grandson, and he's like, I've got a couple of these. You know, everyone else is running them. He goes, I don't want to get into it, because once I start racing, then that's it. You start pouring money into it and everything. I know Keith Altick picked up one.
Yeah, I know.
Matt Hicks has a couple.
But it's not a lot of money. It's not like a dwarf car. It's not like a sportsman. I mean, you can get into dirt carts really inexpensively.
From what I'm understanding, for a good competitive cart, 15 to 25 to maybe $3,000.
That's not bad.
Well, that's cheaper than most of the cars out there.
And if you've never done it, and Dirt Dude, I do not recommend you do it, because then you will buy one. I guarantee it.
I was watching. I'm like, it looks like it'd be fun. But last time I went to one of those, the indoor ones, I went to one of Boyer's ride one things. They used me as the pit maneuver car. So, like, every time they came by me, they would spin me out so the leader would get trapped.
Yeah.
So, thanks, you guys. I'm, like, racing with all these professional racers. So.
Yeah. Well, Boyer, I mean, that was just, you know, he was like a carnival, you know, amusement ride or a park, because, you know, it's like trying to knock down the stuffed animals. It was rigged. And that guy could drive so well out of K1 speed that there's no way you'd ever catch him, beat him, or outdrive him. So, Becky.
Well, it might have been rigged until, like, Eric Evans showed up.
Well, that's a different story. Okay, well, did you look something up?
So, Camp Lockett has a lot of our Cajon family members racing there, so that would be a lot of fun to talk with them.
Oh,
so, Mike Donahue.
Really?
Who the Donahue brothers race.
Yeah.
Is so, they're very involved. Pat Donahue,
Mike Donahue, grandkids. Kids, they're having a lot of fun out there.
I'll be down.
Pat was there. I'm like, who is this guy? And they're like, that's Pat Donahue. He's got a couple of the carts out here. Or his.
I'll be darned. All right. I'm going to ask Becky a question because I can't remember this guy's name to save my life, but he was driving a sportsman class. He came in kind of as a rookie, blonde haired, kind of a cute kid. I think his car, it was hot pink, and I can't remember the number off top, but everybody disliked him because he was a terrible driver.
I can't say that name.
But do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Maybe?
No.
It turns
Your
out he's a
grin
real,
is letting me
yeah,
leading
but he's
me
a
to
real
believe,
estate
yes.
agent something. We'll talk off air.
Oh,
but he's
face.
A real estate
she
agent.
She knows
now.
Who Dave is talking about, race
no,
listeners.
She's still shaking her head. No, but he was just, you know, he would just not, I mean, he would run into people. I mean, and he was an okay driver, but he owned a tire shop in town. And yeah, well, I'm going to have to pick your brain.
You need those people.
Well, back in the day, my dad at Vallejo Speedway was paid $50 a race because he was 6'3 and 250 pounds. He was paid to go out and knock you around, everybody else around, because nobody would knock him around. You don't do that at Barona, do you?
No, not that we know of.
not that you're paying anybody to do it, but it might happen.
I'm biting my tongue over here as a driver.
Yeah, you could take him out and we really wouldn't notice, you know.
What are you saying,
I'm
dear?
I'm just biting my tongue over here. As a driver.
Well, no one's ever pushed you in the wall.
Biting my tongue.
She's a
good... You know, there might be a few people where you're like, can't you ever pass me on a straightaway without hitting me?
Yeah, right, right.
I may have screamed that at the top of my lungs once after a race.
Yeah, at least maybe once.
Maybe.
Not twice. Yeah.
That's what makes it fun. You need the fast guy, the yeah. slow guy, the... Wreckers or Chuckers guy.
Yeah, I know the fans like that. Steve always says that.
Well,
that's because the fans aren't paying the bills. But I understand from the
promoter side, you have to have it all.
Well, yeah, you have to. I mean,
but there's plenty of it on dirt anyway because of the divots and the track changing in the middle of the race. And
more so on dirt than on asphalt, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you don't have a clue what setup is, you know.
Well, now,
and if you don't know what setup is, it's worse on asphalt than it is on dirt. Ugh. No doubt about it. And we were talking about Irwindale, and if you've not been to Irwindale, once it opens back up again, bring a seatbelt, because that is one wicked fast track in the stands. I mean, you guys have turned some speeds up there that are mind-boggling.
That track is really amazing, and they're doing the PJ1, so they're really able to talk to the drivers and find out where to put it.
Oh,
and
man.
We used to only have one groove, David Beat and Ronnie Sauer Racing, and they had to be on the top, and then the middle came in, and then the bottom never worked because you'd use your stuff up.
Yeah, really.
I've seen guys run the bottom, I've seen guys run the middle, and I've seen some guys go to the top. So
and some serious speeds.
Serious
too.
Speeds.
Yeah. That's quite. Have you ever been there?
No, sir.
Oh, that's right. You don't do asphalt.
I love anything racing.
Oh, we're changing
our tune.
There's
the speed. There's the smells. There's the cheering. There's the...
Well, some Saturday night, you know, we'll talk to Becky. We'll get some press passes and we'll sit in the booth and I will tell... And you will be forever indebted.
I would love it. You know, I like the nitro, the drag racing.
So let's talk a little bit about night racing and the wind. Does it not get a tad windy at Irwindale?
You know what's interesting is you're actually really cold. My job is a spotter official, so I'm on the roof. So anywhere I travel in the United States, I'm the spotter official, so I'm at the top of a container, the top of a building, the top of the
top
whatever,
someplace,
something.
Yeah.
The highest point of the racetrack is where I'm at.
Cold.
And it's cold into almost August at Irwindale.
I know.
Because it's in a sand quarry.
And and the wind will kick up, and dude, I mean, you want to be in that press box because it is so nice. And you know, you're sitting there, and I have to tell this story. So I'm sitting there the first time I went, you know, next thing I know, this guy taps me on the shoulder and he hands me paperwork, and I go, thanks. And I looked at it, and it was a rundown of how the cars were qualifying, and every time there was a race, he'd hand me all this paperwork. It's like, wow, I've never had anybody treat me
like
this.
Yeah, I was wondering, did they think you were someone else?
I don't know who they thought I was. I must have been sitting in somebody's seat that wasn't supposed to be there. I don't know. But that's the way Irwindale is. I mean, it's very professional. And they treat, you know, if you're a journalist, they treat them all the same. And, you know, they don't even ask, what are you here for? What are you doing? I was so impressed with Irwindale. I really, really was.
Nice.
So, nice. Dirt Dude, when I come out to Barona, I expect you to bring me paperwork.
Just okay? Hand them papers.
Yeah, just hand me a roll of toilet paper and say, there you go, Stahl.
Can I say, because it looks like we're running out of time, just reminder, practice next Friday on the 24th at Barona.
Are you going to be there?
And next Saturday, the 25th.
Are you going to be there?
I'm officially not able to do anything with my car now. I have a car at Bobby Brown's house. Oh. I got my spares in my backyard.
Gotcha.
I got some parts are in the garage still.
And no roof.
I know. Officially. I had planned on racing Barona until my house started. The house started. That's why I made sure to get to that first practice.
Gotcha. Okay, just double check. All right, buddy.
Hands.
Any news for Barona before I let you go?
No, we're just ready to go. Practice on Friday and Saturday.
All right. All right, buddy. Hey, be safe. Take care. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
I'll catch you next time. See ya.
Bye.
See ya. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Where's she going?
Well, she come alone, so I didn't know. Do you have to leave?
Do you have to leave? You sure? Have you got somebody downstairs tied up in a car? Nice.
Tied up in a car.
Nice. Well, I'm not riding with her ever. Hey, folks, you are listening to Racer Radio. This segment is sponsored by tell her about the door. She'll lock herself out. Paris Auto Speedway. Phenomenal half-mile dirt track located 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. Also, West Escondido Auto and Trans. You're looking for a great automotive shop, go to westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. Hey, we got Scott Delosio on the line. How you doing, Budsky?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we got, I don't know if you've ever heard of a girl by the name of Becky McBride, but she's...
Yes or no? I need to know this.
If you say no, you'll be Brittany's best friend.
Name does not ring a bell.
Okay. Perfect.
She was already giggling, so I was like, another person that knows her? Scott, don't worry. I'm pretty much the only person that didn't know her until today.
Well, Becky, you're not you don't do anything with dirt racing, right?
No, I love dirt, though. I totally enjoy it.
But
I
you mainly do players. Asphalt.
I mainly do
okay,
asphalt.
Okay, so you guys are all...
It's okay, Scott.
So, hey, we didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, so any news at Paris, anything at all?
Well, we canceled now through the end of July, and, you know, we're just hoping.
Yeah.
You know, Don, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, Don was all thinking we were going to open last week. And then things took a turn for the worse, and, you know, we're back to square one again. It's frustrating as heck. It's not only frustrating for the fans, it's especially frustrating for the drivers and for Don Kazarian as well.
Yeah. Do you think that we found out now that the testing has been so much askew and it's going another direction? Do you think in the next couple of weeks, once the correct evaluation of these testings, you think that might, you know, change the tide or no?
I would hope so. You know, you hear and see so many different things, and it's so much different stuff is reported. Who knows what the hell to believe, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly.
I've got a lot of friends who rant and rave about wearing a mask. Personally, I don't care. It doesn't bother me to wear a mask. But so far, when people aren't wearing masks, it doesn't seem to be working right now.
Well, I can tell you. I can
Where's the right level?
No, and I can tell you right now, I talked to a politician here in town, and I asked this person, I said, you know, you guys are closing churches, you know, you're closing sporting events, you're closing motorsports.
But you're allowing protests.
But you're allowing protests. And the response was, we're not allowed to talk about it. I go, No. I hired you. I voted for you, so you're my employee. You have to discuss it. And the person said, I am not allowed to discuss it. So there's the crutch of the whole problem. So we just need to keep fighting the fight, and hopefully once we get open, we get open.
Yeah, nobody knows what the truth is going on right now.
Not right now.
And it's sad, and it's affecting, we're talking about racing, it's affecting people everywhere.
Sure, restaurants, small businesses.
I just got back from a small takeout restaurant by my house. I mean, I've been eating almost every day at lunchtime, I've been hitting all these small mom and pop restaurants
around here
just to try to keep them
alive,
you know, keep them going.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. So, are you guys doing anything at the track? I mean, are you able to? I mean, you don't really need to do anything. The place was pretty much perfect, you know, when COVID hit. But is Don? I mean, is he doing anything? Is he playing? You know, playing with the track itself, keeping it water?
Well, we've got the track it's rented a lot. The rentals have been very busy. Mm. You know, it's rented almost every Saturday and Sunday and two or three days in the middle of the week.
Oh, well, that's good.
That part hasn't really changed that much. I mean, it is rented a lot. So,
that
you know,
awesome.
That's coming in. You know, we just need to get everybody to lighten up. And, you know, the fairgrounds is closed. You know, they need to get the fairgrounds open again so people can come out and get out of the house. You know, it's frustrating as heck.
Yeah. Didn't they cancel your fair this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They canceled that. You know, I can understand fairs getting canceled because it's a different group of people who have to make long-term plans in advance to
right.
be there.
Not well, yeah.
the vendors and that, you know, so I kind of understand that and they have to book acts. So, you know, I kind of understand all that. But you know, stuff like us, short track racing, you know, in Irwindale and Orange Show and Verona, Ventura, we'd love to get going. It's not as big of a long-term commitment trying to get people to come in for Saturday night races, I guess is what I'm trying to say, as opposed to fairs.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's not worth people getting sick either.
No, no. Yeah. And I'm still, my personal opinion is, yes, I wear a mask. It's because it matches my shirt.
Yeah, what makes you look cute.
But that's another story. But if you feel vulnerable, just don't go.
Stay inside.
But if you feel like you're okay and you take your, like I take my temperature every morning. If I leave the house, I take my temperature before I leave. I take it when I get back. So, and I wash my hands more than I've ever washed them before in my life. And I'm old. So, and I'm not going to change my lifestyle. I mean, I wear my mask if I find a restaurant that's, I'm starting to like eating in parking lots. You know, I'm starting to really enjoy hanging out with the cars. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know how much they're doing it down your way, but up here, all the restaurants, they have, they're laying down carpets
yep.
in the parking lot,
yep.
putting up tents, moving their tables. So good for them.
Good
absolutely.
For them.
Go on. Yeah. I went to one last night and they had, because it gets pretty hot in Alpine, so they had misters. Finally had to tell them to turn them off. I mean, I might as well have brought my soap and my towel and my wash
rag. Yeah, at the end. Just ask them at the end.
And the waitress comes up and her hair is all straight. She goes, yes, I'm trying to get them to turn them down. I go, well, it's not that hot. But, well, the fact that you're, I mean, Brody Roa just put a really nice piece online. You're talking about, you got, you know, you've got the movie industry's coming out renting the track. You got practice. You got, so that's good that at least, you know, Don's got some form of income to keep things rolling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, every little bit helps. It's sure. obviously, you know, it's obviously not like a race, but every little bit helps, you know, to try. It's the same thing as, like I said, small restaurants. You got to keep them going. You got to spend money there. People want to come out and test their cars and still, you know, turn laps without having to drive. Like I tried to get two people for you today, Alyssa Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's on her way back from, they were up in Winnemucca, Nevada racing last night.
Yeah.
And then Eddie Tafoya Jr., who he just left a couple hours ago, and he said he wasn't getting good reception out in the middle of the desert. They're headed back to Indiana Sprint Week.
Oh, yeah. So,
you know, people like that want to race around here, but they're having to go long distances to do it.
So what about you? I mean, what are you doing? Because, I mean,
Working my rear end off.
Oh, doing your PR stuff?
Doing that. I've got another side business that I've had, and it's basically just there dormant, you know.
Raising pugs?
Breaking even maybe some months, and I've just turned everything into that. Yeah. And I'm doing a press release today, and I do have some this week. But, you know, there's no announcing gigs right now.
No.
And, you know, still doing the Paris social media and all that, so... I'm probably busier right now than I normally am because I'm just busting my butt to make sure there's extra money coming in. I mean, you know, there's certain guys, you just mentioned one, when he races, no matter where he races, I get paid because I do his PR.
Sure.
California Lightning Sprint Car Series. When they race, I do their PR.
Okay.
And I do one of their team's PR. So I get paid twice there. The go-karts, I do their PR. I announce their races. Well, none of those are happening right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a big chunk of change to make up every month.
Well, you know, I've said this once. I've said it before. Anytime you want to send any of your clients down to San Diego for either radio or KUSI TV, all you have to do is ask. Because right now, in August, I looked at my calendar and almost passed out. Because it's wide open. So if you got, you know, teams that are just sitting there and they need some publicity or they need some exposure, I'm just doing like one team at a time. And all you have to do is reach out, and I'm more than happy to schedule them for TV.
I'll pass it on to them. I mean, some of those guys would be happy to come down there and do that.
Their cars are probably pretty clean. Yeah. They're in one piece.
Well, the ones I'm thinking are the ones that have been out racing.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. Because, again, it's all about sponsorship. It's all about giving back to the sponsor. And like I said, in my world, it's a golden opportunity for you guys to, you know, it's a golden opportunity for them to, you know, get their sponsors a little bit of exposure and a little bit of sunlight.
Well, especially right now because, you know, without racing, how many of these sponsors are, you know, I know a lot of deals out there that sponsors aren't paying right now.
Yeah, I know.
But cutting back, I mean, you notice there's one huge team out of NHRA who hasn't been showing up. You know, a lot of sponsorship deals are, they're holding back to see what they're going to get the bang for their buck. And you can't blame that for that.
No.
For that either.
Yeah. All right. So.
And it's same with track sponsors. I mean, tracks, race teams, the same deal. Sponsors are holding back on a lot of their money till they find out what's going
to
happen.
Well, we're always looking for guests, so all you have to do is reach out. We'll talk to sponsors. We'll talk to drivers. We'll talk to them all. And by the way, your pug has got to be the smartest pug on the planet. How can that dog?
Which one is that?
How could that dog get out of that cone?
He's sitting on my lap right now. He just got his stitches taken out 2 days ago. You tell me.
Dude,
I got sick and tired of putting that thing back on. And Thursday was the last day he had to wear it. And I just said, to heck with it. It's one more day. I put it on. He's got it off within 2 minutes. I'm putting it on. Didn't want to choke him.
No.
I put it on as tight as I could without choking him. I'd walk away and I'd come back and he'd be standing next to me and the collar was 10 feet away.
He's the cutest little guy. He's got an expression on his face like, go ahead, Dad. Try it again. Go ahead.
Is his neck as wide as his head? Is that why?
No, his head's way bigger than his neck.
Okay. It's a pug.
It's a pug. And his eyeballs, I'm sure, you know, from wearing that cone has gotten bigger than they were before, but that's another story. All right, buddy. Hey, keep up the good work. And like I said, send me an email. I'm scheduling August. Reach out to all your clients and anybody that would like to haul down. And if you know, and I don't even make them take it off the trailer unless they want to, because usually the trailer and the truck's got all the graphics on it. I am more than happy to help them out.
We'll let them know.
All right, buddy. You take care and give that dog a hug, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, if he stays out of trouble, I'll hug him.
I doubt it. All right, folks, you're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic over at 11370 North Woodside. Whether it's a street car, stock car, hot rod, race car, classic, dune buggy, or drag racer, Certified can do it all. Then we have Bumper Doc Santee. Boy, I tell you, those guys are a wizard. They can do it all. Scratches, dings, dents, headlight restoration. You know, got a punched-in bumper. They can pop it out and not have to sell you a whole bumper. Unbelievable. SanteeBumperDoc.com. SanteeBumperDoc.com. All right. Well, normally I was going to do a Leah Pritchard live-to-tape interview. Brittany and I did it last week, but we're going to do it next week because Brittany was nice enough to schedule Becky McBride in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we decided we'll run that out the door and do it next Sunday. Because now Brittany knows not to fulfill.
I already have next week.
Well, I know you do, but be prepared.
So we were talking to Becky. Becky is longtime race enthusiast. She's been on, she's done timing. She's done, I mean, you've done just about.
The scoring.
Well, go ahead.
I do have a question before she's gone.
Okay. Well, you go ahead and ask.
May I already?
Well, because you'll forget.
Well, no, because I've been wanting to ask this. Because did it all really begin when you painted the benches at Cajon? Because that's where you and your friends sit.
It absolutely did. And it was a joke that I was born in a paint can at Cajon Speedway. And so what happened was the Brucker family was awesome at trading.
Really? So, yeah, thanks.
So we were given a whole bunch of paint. And it was so interesting because it was pastel. But there was maybe 10 colors of pastel. And so they painted the east side. And we used to have work parties. And everybody would come. And all the old timers will remember this. You'd come out on a Saturday.
Right.
And you'd literally pick rocks.
Right.
Out of the racetrack.
Right.
And out of the infield. So you didn't have rocks. And you do all these things, right? Yeah. Repair and things like that. Paint. So they painted the east side. And I realized they're not talking about the west side, which is where my family sits. So I asked Earl.
Oh,
Rickers,
you always sat on the west?
Yes, because the east side was so rowdy and my whole family was racing. So I would be by myself sometimes. And I used to sit with this little brat named Ron Esau, who was also too young to go in the pits.
He is a brat.
So we would sit together as kids, but literally they said, well, we don't care about the west side. You know,
we
have one day to do this work party and we're out of time. So I said, what if I bring my childhood friends from school? Can we paint the west side? They said, we don't care. So sure enough, we loaded everybody up that next Saturday. We went there and they said, we'll give you the paint. We'll give you the brushes. And we painted the west side and made it look beautiful like the east side.
Yeah.
And Earl Brucker never forgot that. And that's when he said, I'm going to have you do some other jobs. And I said, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And so
that's awesome.
Wasn't too many years down the road that I was given the key to all of the gates.
Ooh.
And Steve Brucker said, I don't really care what you do. Just open and close the gate. You can use the property to raise money for children's charity, for a sick child, for whatever happens that we need to use this property. Yeah. You have the key.
Wow.
And he said, I need to know it went okay at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And he trusted me and said, do whatever you need to do. And so we didn't even communicate a lot. I said, I'm doing this event on this day. And he'd say, great. Have a great time.
Earl was not a big communicator anyway. I mean, pretty much.
Pretty quiet guy.
Wasn't even a motorsports enthusiast. It was Steve Brucker who was the real gearhead. And when she talks about trade, that guy, I mean, he should have been on American Pickers. I mean, that guy was amazing. My story for Steve Brucker was we had a really bad rain. And I mean, and I think turn one and turn two, well, actually all the turns would flood. So I'm out there, you know, with this big broom, you know, and I'm trying to take the water. He comes over. What are you? Let me show you the proper way to get the water off this track. And for him to take time out of his day to show me how to do it. But that was Steve. I mean, he always had his hands on everything. And he ruled the track. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I love that man to death. He was such an enthusiast. But the rest of the family kind of could care less about motorsports. I mean, they were there because Earl was there. I mean, Earl used to send out black and white photos while all the other tracks are doing color. He'd send out internet stuff. Not Earl, you know, it was on an old typewriter. Yeah. In fact, the last Sunday, and they tore the track down the next day, I did a 2-hour radio show in the tower. And I had forgotten how shaky it was up there. And oh, my God. We drug all this equipment up there.
It did sway.
It swayed. And somebody built that. I mean, it was everything was volunteered. There was no, he didn't contract anybody. Yeah, it was a trip, boy, let me tell you.
Well, I know that I have stamps on my passport to Brazil, Japan, Jamaica, only because the Bruckers trusted me with that key. Because if they had not trusted me to learn the sport from the inside out.
That's right.
If Fred Perry hadn't spent hours teaching
good old
me
Fred
things,
Perry.
If Steve Brucker hadn't invested in me, if Earl and Marilyn Brucker hadn't invested in me, I would have not been able to do what I've done in racing. And I've been able to go pretty much anywhere in the United States in racing. My Uncle Al McBride, my Aunt Karen McBride, they just had us going to the racetrack. That's what we were doing. My mom said, we're going to the racetrack. Yeah. That's what we're doing. It was never an option. My brother and I were never, oh, what are you doing tonight, child? Well, we want to go here. It was never that. We never had that conversation.
Well, they never asked you.
Never. We went to the racetrack as a family. So I always said, how could you not have the best life ever if you are with your family every Saturday night, guaranteed you're going to see everyone in your family.
Yeah.
I would not trade it for anything.
No.
All those hours of volunteering, who cares? I was with my family.
But you might have complained a little bit when you were younger. You know, you wanted to go to the, not even if you wanted to go to the mall
she
or nothing.
She made a career out of it.
Every single friend I have was at that racetrack
with
me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it was, and it was always fun.
And my other friends didn't understand me. They're like, you are so weird. Why do you go to that track? That's gross. That's dirty.
I get that to this day.
Yeah. But see, I never understood why the east side and the west side was so divided. And I'm telling you,
human nature.
Maybe so, but here's the thing. You sit on the east side, you'll get a sunburn. The sunset would burn your eyeballs
out. The wind at the end of the night.
Oh, the wind at the end of the night. But yet on the west side, it was, and you got to see turn 3 and 4, which there was a lot of action.
Yeah, that last lap, I imagine.
There was no light bulb in 3 for some reason. So when you dove into turn 3.
There was no light bulb in going into 3.
Am I right? It
no
didn't
comment.
Have. Yeah. I mean, it was one dark corner. And unless you had headlights, it could get kind of hairy. And you know they don't have headlights on racing cars.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that track was, but it was a hoot, man. I'm telling you.
Well, and you saved money if you sat on the west side. There was like a 50-cent difference
back
in the day.
Yeah, was it a 50 cent?
I think it's 50 cents.
And I never understood
that's
that.
That's hilarious.
Well, you had no access to the pit area. So when you went on the west side, you went from parking lot to grandstands to parking lot.
Yeah.
You couldn't get it in the pits. If you're on the east side,
that's a huge difference.
You could go back
and I think
forth.
The concession stand was smaller on
it
the west
side. It was
much
smaller, yeah.
Okay.
It was a different crowd on the west side, but I loved it over
they
there.
They were rowdy.
That's
on
probably
the east.
Where my family went.
No, the east side was one rowdy group.
Probably on the west
and
side.
If you sit in somebody's section, you may not make it home that night.
Boy. And didn't root for their person.
Or,
ugly.
Or if you said anything, or if that person, say, hit somebody. And you yell, oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
Very territorial.
Yeah, I think one of the best radio shows I did, see if I can remember their names, but they were all going for a championship. Oberman, Borneman, Teska, Meech. Was it Meech? No, not Meech. But anyway, they were all going for a championship. And I'm like a dummy. I don't know. So I get them all on the radio at the same time. People said, what the hell are you doing, dude? You don't want to put all those people out there. They're going to kill each other. It was the greatest interview on the planet. And we just lost Ron. How sad was that? Ron, nicest racer, gentleman racer. And his car.
That's what was said over and over and over.
His car was impeccable. But he liked to fish more than he liked to race, if you can believe that.
Well, his boys raced last night at Irwindale.
Did they really?
And his boys pulled in on Friday, and the biggest smiles on their faces, and they were so happy to be at the racetrack. And I watched them work, and Mike Wyman's spotter was Scott Ashley, who used to be on Ron's crew. So the crew is still together, and it's all racing and laughing. And
we can't go without saying a big shout-out to the safety crew, Tom Hinkle and his team, which is now at Verona. And he still has the old rescue truck. And if you really want to get a curly experience, ride on that rescue truck.
Stay on if you're in the back.
Duh.
We always had the best.
Whoever that driver was, he had a sixth sense. He knew when the wreck was before the wreck started. All right, Becky, I can't thank you enough
thank
for coming
you.
In. You're always welcome
thank
to come
you.
In.
Give me a call.
Nice to meet you, Brittany.
Yeah, you're a ton of fun, as always.
You.
And we look forward to having you on the show down the road. That'll be up to your new best friend.
Thank you.
So we're going to hit the road because Gun Owners Radio is coming up on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.